The Spectator magazine is home to wonderful writing, insightful analysis, and unrivaled books and arts reviews. Subscribe today for just £12 and receive a 12-week subscription in print and online, along with a free £20 John Lewis or Waitrose voucher. Go to spectator.co.uk/voucher.
Hello and welcome to Table Talk, the Spectator's food and drink podcast. I'm Laura Prendergast.
And I'm Olivia Potts.
And today we're delighted to be joined by Laura King. Laura is affectionately known as the Caviar Queen. She is widely regarded as the UK's leading caviar expert and owns and runs King's Fine Food, the largest importer of caviar into the UK, which celebrated its 20th anniversary this year. King's have a royal warrant from the late Queen and continue to supply the royal households as well as all sorts of other companies around Britain. Laura, welcome to Table Talk.
Thank you very much. Lovely to be here.
Laura, we're going to start where we always do, at the beginning, and ask you, what are your earliest memories of food? I assume not caviar.
Oh, God, no. Oh, that's a really good question. I think an egg, probably with a soldier. Do you remember when you used to dip it in? Being sort of vaguely in a high chair-ish, that's what I would remember about food.
And what were mealtimes like in your family?
I think they were sort of quite structured, very simple, but always together, which was good. And I'd love to say that I kept that going, but I'm not quite sure that's actually true. But pretty structured, really.
And who was doing most of the cooking?
My mother did most of the cooking.
What was she cooking?
Oh, God, what did she? She cooked everything, really. I mean, we weren't... I think she, you know, she worked as well. So I think food, it certainly, well, no, I don't know that she would have known much about caviar either, but I think quite simple, but she's a very good cook. She's still alive. And often similar things on similar days of the week, really.
And did you have an interest in food from an early age?
No. Not really. Well, apart from eating quite... I remember going to the fridge and on a Sunday night and sort of, you know, if I was hungry, eating quite a lot. But no, I mean, look, I didn't plan to sell caviar. I wanted to be a journalist. My father wanted to be a journalist and wasn't able to do that. So I didn't go to uni. I did a bit of typesetting for Hollis Press and PR. And then I got a job with the Middlesex Chronicle. Wrote the women's page, and I did my indentures, and they said my writing was turgid and wooden. So I thought, oh, God, that's not a great thing. So then I bought aircraft spares for many, 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 you know, I don't know, 13, 14 years, went to work for Air Europe, ran two of their sort of divisions on engineering. Air Europe went under, and I needed a job, and I used to have a buyer at Philippine Airlines that bought caviar. So when they offered me the job, I remember looking at it thinking, I don't fancy that at all. But I, you know, really wanted the job. So that was in 91. It's quite a long time ago, isn't it? So that's how it started. But it wasn't planned. I don't think anyone plans to be a caviar dealer.
It sounds like a very glamorous job. Is it very glamorous?
Oh, God.
And also, when did you first try caviar? What were your first impressions of caviar?
Well, the first time I sort of thought I had caviar was at my grandparents' one Christmas. And I remember them having, God, what's the drink that you have with champagne with brandy and a sugar cube in it?
Champagne cocktail.
Yes, yeah. Having that. And also, I remember they had something that they sort of described as caviar. I mean, now I would know that was lumpfish roe. And it was horrible, you know. So that was the first time I'd ever had it. And then I hadn't ever had it until I went for the job. And that was that, really.
Tell us what makes caviar caviar as opposed to lumpfish egg.
So caviar is the roe of the female sturgeon. And that is what denotes caviar. So it's not an egg from any other fish. It must be from a sturgeon. There are 29 different types of sturgeon, but primarily 9 or 10 that produce the caviar that we consume. Caviar is all farmed.
And what is it that makes caviar so premium, so expensive?
The length of time that you've got to wait for a sturgeon. So if you imagine a sturgeon, they're very prehistoric in how they look. They date back to the Triassic period, so other than the shark, one of the oldest fish known to man. If we had a beluga here now, so a beluga is 4 meters long and weighs a ton in weight, so it's a massive fish. And it would produce the eggs in the wild when it was 18 years of age. Farmed, you've got to wait 12 years. So beluga is one of the most expensive caviars. So all of the sturgeon, what you're paying for is the length of time that you've got to wait for that sturgeon to produce the eggs.
Your job must take you all around the world. Do you travel a lot?
Yeah, in
the Caribbean? And where are the places that sort of...
Well, of course, I've been to Russia and Iran many times when there was wild caviar. And I did actually, it's quite a funny story. I took a guy called Giles Madonna, who writes, I think he used to write for the FT. And we went to Iran and we went fishing on the Caspian Sea. And when we got there, there were no wild sturgeon. So we had to sort of do a dummy run of the whole how you catch sturgeon. And then we went to Tehran and he wrote a piece about trying to find a Barbie doll with a chador for his daughter because there was no caviar. Mm. So I have been Iran and Russia primarily because that's where all wild caviar came from.
And what's going on between Russia and Ukraine? Has that affected the caviar business?
Wild caviar was always Russian and Iranian, but since 2008, wild caviar is illegal. It must be farmed. So I've never bought any Russian farmed caviar. Well, perhaps once, but it was very poor quality. And Iran, the problem with Iranian caviar is that they take the fish, mostly beluga, and actually for, you know, Harrods and Fortnum's, who I supply, would love me to have Iranian beluga, but they take the fish too quickly. So the egg is small. The last time I bought it was probably about 5 years ago. And I said to the guy in Iran, it must be 3.5 mm in size or above. That's the spec. Oh, it took ages to negotiate. I mean, he was very charming, but it took forever. And when I got it, I had to pay up front. And I'd bought just 10 kilos or something. And when I got it, it was 3.5, but it was absolutely vile. Because it was old. It was very old caviar.
So where does caviar tend to come from then? Which countries supply it?
The caviar market annually is about 620 tonnes. China produced 220 plus tonnes. And then the rest of the world, so Belgium, which is my preferred supplier, it's quite a small farm that produces 11 tonnes. Belgium, France, Germany, Madagascar, Chile, anywhere in the world that you can think of would produce caviar, but it doesn't mean that it's good. I mean, I was going to bring caviar in from Madagascar because I thought it sounded quite romantic, but actually when I tasted it, it wasn't for me. So I think you have to really check where you buy it from.
Tell us about the decision to and the process of setting up King's Fine Foods.
Well, it was 20 years ago. The reason I set the business up was that W.G. White's, who were one of the oldest caviar companies in the world, I was their sales director, they were taken over by a company called Ritter, and I didn't basically want to work for them. And my daughter was 9, who works with me now, and my son Harry was 4. And I thought, what am I going to do? And I thought, okay, you know, my surname is quite strong. Let's go out on my own and set up King's Fine Food. And I remember a lawyer who's actually a trustee of a charity that I now run. And he said to me, Laura, it'll be a walk in the park. I don't know that it's been a walk in the park, but it's how we started, really.
And you supply lots of different places, including Harrods and Fortnum's. Do you also, is there a sort of private clientele? Is that
yes,
also how it works?
We do people buy lots of privately. We do. Yeah. We have a lot of private customers, which is great and very interesting. And I suppose over the years, I've got to know some of them quite well. And then they might pass on our details to someone else. And now my daughter's really taking over that mantle. She really is sort of running with it.
And you were talking earlier about the size of the egg and, I mean, what makes good caviar? How do you, if someone's coming at it, what would you
advise? So if you said to me, what are the sort of fundamental things about caviar? Caviar should have, and when we taste it in a minute, virtually no smell. So that's one thing. when you're tasting it, virtually no smell. And you don't want any bitterness on the palate. Oil with caviar. Some suppliers will say if you have more oil, it's because they've let the eggs mature a little longer. But you eat with your eyes, so you don't want to pick something up and it has a lot of oil. So that's one of the things that you would look for. But I think you want something, it's like anything really. You want it to be fresh on the palate and to sort of, I mean, this sounds a bit weird, but to sort of sing to you, you know, if that makes sense. Probably doesn't, but.
And what's the best way to eat caviar?
Well, we're going to taste it on the back of our hand. I would say, and I do that because we really just want to taste the caviar, but I would say a warm blini, creme fraiche, and then the caviar on top. Or possibly a softly boiled egg for breakfast and you put the caviar on top. Caviar's great on a new potato or a jacket potato. It's quite versatile. Chopped egg, chives, lemon juice were devised by the Americans to take away the taste of very poor quality caviar. And I wouldn't recommend that, but we could fly. I mean, we supply Cathay Pacific with caviar. And, you know, you could be flying on many airlines now and they would serve that because people would want to have that with their caviar. So I think it's like anything, you know. I think some places in the world they have red wine with Coke or something, or, you know, so I don't know.
Well, Lev, what do you think? I think that seems a good moment to try some caviar.
So this is a 1.8 kilo tin, so...
Oh, wow.
Wow. Oh, God.
So generally, apart from Belgium, which is my number one supplier, the Belgians, I have sort of complete trust with them. So they, if you take caviar from the belly of the sturgeon, and a really good thing to watch, I think I did say to someone in the office, could they tell you, but the Gordon Ramsay film about caviar. So if you get a chance afterwards, go and have a, just see it, because it's brilliant. Mm. And it really shows you about sturgeon, how they fish, how they process, because the process is the same everywhere in the world. The Belgians, because we completely trust them, obviously they send us samples of all their caviar, so we try it. I try it with a friend of mine who's a chef, so we try all batches and we take pictures, everything else. They're the only company that pre-pack for us. Otherwise, all the caviar we buy in a kilo tin or a 1.8 kilo tin, and then at King's we decant it down. And we could decant it down to a 10 gram. We don't have a 10 gram tin here, but I think actually Olivia has 10 gram tins, I think.
Yes,
yeah.
I do.
This is maybe a very stupid question, but so does the fish have to be killed and then they extract it? So it's
then
not,
it did,
it's not.
Yeah. The problem is that, you know, there has been some sort of caviar in the UK. If a sturgeon releases the eggs, to get it to release the eggs, you must inject it with hormones to do that. And then sturgeon, naturally, the eggs would... naturally just fall to the bottom of the seabed, so they're going to be sticky. Mm. So you've then got to coat it in something else. And of course, when you do that process, it doesn't taste good. So we always start with the beluga. So I'll tell you the order we're going to do it in. So we're going to go beluga, Aussie Etra. So grab an Aussie next. There you go. And then we're going to go golden Aussie. Golden Aussie, golden Aussie.
So is this the one you buy that you then decant?
Yeah. And most of these, actually, if it's not Belgium, everything else we decant. So there's a caviar packer at King's today. You know, and if we're busy, I pack caviar as well. Mm. So platinum, we're going to go platinum next. And then we're going to go Siberian. So this is not the complete range, but it's quite a lot of it. Okay. And then we're going to end on Savruga. So Savruga. So,
not to be vulgar, but like, how much sort of money are we talking on the table here?
Oh, God. Okay. Well, I can tell you. So, this beluga, yeah. Laurent Perrier Grand Siec, we did a thing with them at Christmas, and they sell a glass of Grand Siec, sort of starts about £60 a glass. And Harrods sell 10 grams of beluga for about £60. So they said, would we tie in and do a promotion? So what they did is they actually gave the beluga to everyone who bought a glass of Grand Siec. So it was an amazing deal, actually. So that tells you. So in terms of the value, with what you're eating here, I suppose that's about, that's probably £150, £200 worth of caviar, and this on its own is about £3,000 or £4,000 worth of caviar. So it's a different thing.
Golly.
It's a good one.
But I just bought it. I know we're not, you can't see this, but people say, I mean, it's like a sort of cake of caviar. Mm.
This is how it's packed.
This is how it comes in. So, but we're trying to get them to change this and to go back to tins, but they haven't quite got there yet.
And so these ones here, are these four Fortnums, but these are these different
types?
Yeah,
they're just bigger sizes. So you've got a 250 gram, 125, 50 gram, 10 gram here. You could have a 20 gram. You could have a 500 gram, kilo. Some people
so
buy kilos.
This packet with the,
oh, it's amazing.
There's some sparkles, isn't there? It's lovely.
So we're looking at, we've got the primarily 10 grams of different caviars, and then we've got a 1.8 kilo tin of Imperial. So it's like looking at a big cake of caviar. And this one is a sort of slight brown, golden brown, slightly mottled sort of colour, really. I mean, it's a lot of caviar. Mm.
It's a lot of caviar. I think that's how someone would buy it, or is that broken down?
Perhaps for parties, people might buy it. They'd be more likely to buy a 500-gram tin. So if you imagine a 500-gram tin, it's not quite that diameter, but almost. And so for shooting parties and things, people would buy a 500-gram. And they pass it like they pass the port. So that's sort of how it works. So we're going to start with Beluga. And Beluga is the most expensive. And the reason it's so expensive is because you've got to wait 12 years for the caviar, the sturgeon, to produce the eggs. So Beluga, the name of the species is Huso Huso. And this Beluga is from Belgium. If you have a smell, that has almost no smell at all. The one thing you will notice, probably more than anything, with a 10 gram is quite a lot of tin. That's because, of course, it is, you know, that is spread quite thinly. Whereas with the others, but the smell, I can smell a little bit of fish, but it's not too pronounced. So when we taste it, we take a little. So if you imagine, I thought I was being filmed then. I'm about to show you, and I'm not. And you just put it between the forefinger and the thumb, just there. So can you see where I put it? And then that's going to be soft, subtle, creamy, a little bit of salt on the palate.
I should say, Oscar, our producer's here and trying it for the first time. What do you think, Oscar?
It's delicious. It's so nice.
Did you really like it? Yeah.
Yeah, really nice. I get what you mean by creamy.
It's really creamy, yeah.
Yeah.
When you said creamy before, I was like, this is not going to be creamy.
No, it is creamy.
It's so soft, isn't it?
Yeah, very soft. Beluga's always one of the softest.
That's delicious.
So creamy, walnutty. I mean, I am hopeless because we've got tasting notes there. I always forget what I put in the tasting notes. But then I think every tin is different. And actually, it depends what you're... I mean, champagne or vodka is good to have with it. Champagne is probably better. But I think it just depends on what you're doing at the time and... just various stuff, doesn't it, really? You know, how you feel when you're eating, because it changes, doesn't it? So that's creamy, really warnutty, soft, subtle. Did you like it, Olivia?
Oh, it's beautiful. And as I say, I had this caviar a few days ago. And you can really tell the difference between a good caviar and a good caviar. It's one of those things where I thought, am I sophisticated enough to be able to tell the difference? But the product very much does the work for you, I think. Absolutely beautiful.
So can you see, we're now opening Ozietra. So it's a golden stardy sturgeon. Again, this is from Belgium. But if you put them side by side, they're not dissimilar in colour. In this instance, they could be quite different. But this is a little darker than the Beluga, and it is a smaller egg. And that's absolutely what you'd expect. You would always expect with Beluga for it to be one of the larger eggs, and that really shows through, I think. And that's what I meant by being quite bright on the palate, and it's creamy, a little firmer, but subtle, but it will linger. And that's one of the things about Belgian caviar, it lingers on the palate. Whereas with other caviars, they look great, but they may not last as long on the palate. And if you're spending quite a lot of money, I think you want something that stays with you.
That's delicious as well. Slightly saltier.
Yeah, much saltier. Yeah. On the palate, a little more salt,
Does the salt come from the fish itself, or does it have salt?
The salt is added. So basically you kill the sturgeon, you gut it, you wash it, wash the eggs. It's sieved, you wash it, and then you add the salt. 4% salt or 3.5% salt, and borax is added to it. You can have pure salt, but pure salt would be a much shorter life on the caviar, a 6-month life as opposed to a year plus. So I can. Can you still taste that?
Yeah, yeah, no, you're right. It does linger. Is that? Does the smaller egg have a slightly more intense?
Yeah. So
flavor?
When we get to Savruga, because it absorbs more of the salt, then you're going to taste a lot more of that salt, be more salty. So next, we're going to move on to Golden Aussie Extra. So can you see? That's the same as what we've just tasted, but it's golden.
I'd heard that there's like a special way to eat it. You like push it up against your palate, like with your tongue, or is that just an affectation?
Yeah, I don't think they say roll it around, don't they? And yeah.
Because it's such a delicate thing. I don't know whether to, you know, it feels weird to chew it.
Yeah, people say you should sort of roll it around your tongue and then burst the eggs. But of course, they're too soft to burst. I think maybe that was when there was a lot of pasteurised caviar. But this is very soft, so that's not necessary.
This one's got more of a smell. Is that normal?
Yeah, a little bit stronger. But in terms of the taste, this is Chinese. I enjoy this. I, through preference, would probably say I prefer the Belgium. Yeah. But I still think this is really good caviar. And if we went to 25 Michelin or 28 Michelin star restaurants in Paris now, 25 would all sell for sure.
Oh, really?
Belgium caviar. Sorry, Chinese caviar, not Belgium. So
it's a different, it's quite a different taste.
Yeah.
More of an acquired taste, would that be fair?
Well, I still find it quite creamy on the palate. I don't think it lingers as much. I don't know if you go back and then if we go back to the other Aussie, once we've tasted that, I prefer this Aussie to...
Yeah, I think I would say
it's
that
much
one
brighter. I think that's great, but I think this interesting. The Shah's Golden Caviar was always the caviar that was really light in colour, and when they were fishing in the Caspian Sea, they had no idea if it would have really golden caviar. But I never thought that the really golden caviar was as good. But of course, it looks good, and that's the big difference. So next we're going to move on to the Platinum. And this is a hybrid. So it's a cross between an Aussie Etre, a Golden Stardi and a Barry Sturgeon. And this is used by lots of chefs in London. It farms very well. It's a very strong caviar. And in terms of the taste, more salt on the palate, but it's very well rounded. So it's creamy, bit of lobster.
It is interesting how different they all taste.
You know, the weird thing about this is, so I taste, you know, probably every 2 or 3 weeks, I will taste Belgium, Aussie Etre or Platinum. Some weeks, the Aussie fares better than the Platinum. It just depends on the, you know, their fish. So it's not always, if you said to me, is this always going to be the same? Depending on the time of year, the season, it varies.
That's interesting.
But that's delicious.
That's really delicious.
So from the Platinum, we're going to move on to the Siberian. And the Siberian is a Barry Sturgeon, and it's going to be a much smaller egg, so you're going to probably get a bit more oil. Let me open that for you.
Very delicious.
Thank you. For how long have we farmed sturgeon and Barry for caviar?
So the first farm for sturgeon that I visited was about 25 years ago. There was one called Stolt in America and then one called Sturia here. When I first visited it, we did a thing for, I was going to say something like, was it called TVAM or TV? I don't know. Anyway, one of the, you know, ITV. And we went to look at the farm and I remember thinking it will never catch on. And the other thing about farm caviar is that initially it tasted a bit like a corked wine, and that was because of the filtration of the sturgeon. They hadn't really worked out how to do it properly. So it differed in terms of taste.
So this is the one that chefs tend to gravitate towards.
Yeah.
Do people ever cook with cat? I mean, I know you can put it onto things, but is it ever used in actual sort of cooking?
I think lots of chefs cook with it. Mm. So much stronger taste profile. I think when we get to the savruga, that's really a Marmite moment when that happens. And I would say as well, we're going to go on to the Imperial next. I would say that with the Imperial, because it's a much, much firmer egg, quite a large egg, this is different again. So I think we're going to this next, shall we? Mm.
Just the quantity in that tin is amazing.
So that's really delicious.
Mm-hmm.
That is much firmer egg, a little cream, but certainly I wouldn't have said any of these. Maybe the Siberian are particularly fishy. Do you find them fishy?
The only one I found slightly, the sort of smell a bit, is that one.
The golden.
Yeah, the golden I found slightly sort of just...
The strongest smell on.
Not, and it's not that I don't like it, it's just quite distinctive compared to the... But
I love that one.
Did you like the Imperial?
That's beautiful. I mean, they're all beautiful, but you know, you're sort of, you know, picking your favourite child, aren't you?
Liv, have you got the Imperial there?
She got
it
on a 10 gram.
Yeah.
I was picturing you there with a huge one of these in front of you.
No, I didn't send.
Yeah, it's just me with 1.8 kilos of caviar.
I have had caviar in Russia. I've had a pound of caviar in soup.
Oh, wow.
And there was still wild caviar. They used to put it in soup.
Oh, wow.
So it was a...
Does that work? Does it get lost?
No, it gets lost, yeah. But now, more than anything, more chefs are using caviar. I mean, it is really popular. And I would say it's, you know, most of the Michelin star chefs use caviar. And if we went back 10 years, they wouldn't have used it in a dish. And now so many of them use it in a dish.
Is it hard to transport? I mean, is that presumably the kind of logistics of it?
We have to fly in, and of course it must be kept refrigerated. And I mean, but we have had caviar. I bought in a... It's very difficult to import caviar now since we've obviously left the EU. Mm. I used to be able to bring caviar in 48 hours. Now it takes me 8 weeks to bring caviar in because you have to apply for a CITES licence. Anywhere in the world, it takes a week. In the UK, it takes 6 weeks. So you've got that logistics, and we were desperate for Belgium caviar. And in fact, we're very desperate now for Belgium caviar. And when it arrived, actually the ice was at a higher temperature than the caviar, but it was 22 degrees, so it was too high. Mm. So it all had to be destroyed. So, you know, you've got to keep that refrigeration. Mm. And I think as well, depending on the size of the tin, it's much better when it's in a larger tin. I think with the smaller tins, you definitely have more of the taste of the tin. Mm. Whereas this large, you know, if it's a large tin, you don't pick that up as much. Mm. So the last thing we're going to taste is the savruga. So savruga, this is actually really light for savruga. Savruga would often be much darker than this. But this should taste, this is Belgium, much stronger taste of salt and the sea.
Mm, that's delicious.
And of everything, I think this resembles wild caviar more than anything, really.
Mm. That's what you'd sort of recommend.
Yeah, I mean, the last time I had really wonderful wild beluga, I remember looking at it thinking, oh, because that was the end of the wild caviar. This will never happen again. So what it's a bit like salmon. Mm. You know, wild salmon and smoked salmon are quite different. Mm. And I think that's the same with caviar. But this actually could be... And this is quite soft, but it could be even have more salt on the palate. But I think it's a very lovely taste.
Mm, delicious.
Really nice.
When you said it was going to be divisive, I was expecting something that's very subtle. Not subtle, but sort of, I don't know, quite delicate.
One of the things we're going to try with it, so please go back and have more.
I'm finding it to be a very good hangover cure.
Have you got a hangover? That's hilarious. Well, probably because it's
like the salt. Yeah.
I think that's salt because salt and vinegar crisps are supposed to be good for a hangover.
Yeah.
Aren't they?
Mm. I think my new hangover goes to
the caviar.
Lucozade and
a tin of this next to your bed.
So this is Amadei Italian chocolate, and we're going to try it with the savruga. So,
Is this a normal way to eat?
Well, it was something that Heston Blumenthal did at the Fat Duck, and then someone copied him a week later, so he stopped doing it. But we always end a tasting with it because it's a really nice way to finish the tasting. So
this is just white chocolate.
White chocolate is Italian, Amadei. It's a bit Marmite, you either. And I think, Olivia, do you have white chocolate?
I do. You very kindly sent me some. I'm trying the combination now.
I mean, some people really like it, and others don't like it at all.
It's delicious.
Really nice.
Do you like it?
Yeah. Mm.
It's like when you dip your chips in your milkshake.
Oh, God, years ago. When I first started selling caviar, I bought the freshest caviar from Russia to the UK. We had all these journalists at the Dorchester. And I went on, do you remember this thing called, I think it was called The Big Breakfast?
Mm.
With Gabby Roslin and Chris Evans.
Mm.
And there was a family of the week. And the family of the week, they tasted the caviar like this. They said it'd be great with chips. And actually, they were sort of right.
I think it probably would.
If we had
it?
Chips now, gosh, yummy.
That really would be a good hangover.
Yeah, it would be lovely, wouldn't it?
That's amazing, though.
Mm.
With the
I wouldn't have expected that for it to be sort of to work, but it does.
It really
work.
Does.
Yeah, and it works with the Sebruga. Yeah, I'm going to leave these with you.
And so. I should say, actually, if anyone listening is interested in trying all this beautiful caviar, are there ways that they can...
Yes, I mean, we have a website, or if they contact me directly, it's laura@kingsfinefood.co.uk, or contact the office, then we'd love to talk to them. And we do lots of tastings. So we do lots of tastings for all sorts of people.